KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, inviting you to experience the science of story. 6 days of programming celebrating how and why we tell the stories that move us from July 23rd through the 28th at UC San Diego. Events include Clarion Writers Masterclass, A Tale of Two Sulus, an evening with George Takei and John Cho, Star Trek in concert with the San Diego Symphony, and more. For information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Monday, May 13th. Mexico's presidential election has high economic stakes for the U.S. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. San Diegans can attend two meetings this week where county departments will present details on their recommended budgets to the Board of Supervisors. One set of departments will make presentations tomorrow at 10 a.m., and the next group will go before the board at the same time on Thursday. The meetings will be held at the County Administration Center in downtown and live streamed on the county's YouTube channel, Facebook, or X. A public celebration of life is being held today for Joan Jacobs, one of San Diego's best-known philanthropists. Jacobs died last week of heart failure at the age of 91. She and her husband gave away a lot of their fortune to many San Diego organizations, including KPBS. Her husband, Irwin, was the founder of Qualcomm. The celebration of life starts at 11 a.m. at the Rady Shell downtown. The weather is going to cool down slightly this week. Temperatures in the inland areas will be in the low 70s, and by the coast and the mountain areas, temps will be in the low to mid 60s. The only part of the county with rising temps is in the deserts, where it will reach the century mark. Temperatures are expected to drop a couple degrees as the week goes on, and we'll have cloudy skies for most of the day. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Extended Studies, inspiring ordinary people to dare, dream, and do. Online videos of dreamers sharing their real-life stories, along with courses, certificate programs, and more can be explored at extendedstudies.ucsd.edu.
San Diego's cross-border economy is measured in the billions, and the policies of Mexico's next president could have significant impacts on the region. Border reporter Gustavo Solis examines what's at stake.
Why should San Diegans care about Mexico's presidential election? Well, because what happens in Mexico doesn't actually stay in Mexico. This is particularly true when it comes to the economy. Saúl Sandoval is a professor of economics at CETIS University in Tijuana.
So if something happens here in terms of the decrease in production and different goods and services, then perhaps Americans will face the consequences with higher prices.
Mexico is a key part of the U.S. supply chain. A dizzying array of products, from cars to televisions to medical devices, are all manufactured in Mexico and shipped through the U.S. border. And this relationship is more intertwined than ever, so says Rafael Fernandez de Castro, director of the Center for U.S.-Mexico Studies at UC San Diego.
Mexico has become now the number one U.S. trading partner. It's not Canada, it's not China, it's Mexico.
An estimated 80,000 people live in Baja California but cross the border to work in San Diego every single day. And more than $4 billion worth of goods cross the San Ysidro and Otay Mesa border crossings every year. So the policies of Mexico's next president on issues like trade, immigration, and security will have a big impact on our region. The two leading candidates vying for a six-year term in the June 2nd election are Claudia Sheinbaum and Xochitl Galvez. Experts say that both of them recognize the importance of the cross-border economy. Flavio Olivieri is the director of the Center of Excellence in Competitiveness and Entrepreneurship at CETIS University.
Both understand the opportunities there, but in terms of how to maximize those, do differ a little bit.
Sheinbaum was mayor of Mexico City from 2018 to 2023 and represents the popular Morena Party, which was founded by current Mexico President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Experts say a Sheinbaum presidency would, in many ways, continue what López Obrador started. When it comes to the economy, Olivieri expects Sheinbaum to be more focused on labor issues.
On the other side is more labor-intensive focus, more on labor rights, increasing minimum wage.
For example, she supports raising the minimum wage and expanding retirement benefits. On the other hand, Galvez is a critic of what she calls López Obrador's soft stance on crime, and says high crime rates are hurting the Mexican economy.
No va a haber tema más importante para mí que la seguridad de ustedes, de sus familias, de sus hijos, de los jóvenes.
She wants to expand the cross-border economy beyond manufacturing. Sandoval says that a Galvez presidency would focus on bringing more tech and research and development to the area, industries that pay higher wages than manufacturing.
Whereas with Xochitl Galvez, I think because she's a more pro-market-oriented individual, she will make more accessible investment in Mexico and in Baja California and in all the border states in general.
Experts also say that managing U.S.-Mexico relations will be a big part of the next president's job. But historically speaking, Mexico City hasn't really paid much attention to the border.
The problem is that I believe that the capitals, Mexico City and Washington, they very far away from the border. Not only that, but with the political polarization both in Washington and in Mexico City, I don't see them really putting that much attention into these border areas.
But given what's at stake, Fernandez says that local leaders should speak loud enough to get the president's ear, no matter who she may be. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
This is the second in a series of stories we're doing on the Mexican election. Next is a look at how the election will impact environmental issues in the border region. Researchers at UCSD have found a way to make some plastics biodegrade in a matter of months. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge explains their target is a petroleum-based plastic that's already used in many common products.
Millions of metric tons of plastic are created and discarded every year, creating a huge solid waste problem. The vast majority are petroleum-based and they do not naturally degrade. But what if you could find an organism that literally eats plastic?
We screened several different bacterial strains to see if they could use the polyurethanes as a food source.
Professor of nanoengineering John Pokorsky says he and his research team found two kinds of bacteria that could feed solely on some kinds of polyurethane. Researchers embedded dormant bacterial spores into their plastic, and when it was landfilled or composted, the spores woke up and started feeding on the plastic. Another member of the research team, Adam Feiss, says adding the spores to plastic production is really no different from adding salt to your soup.
The spores actually in this case are just one more thing that get poured in to the mix.
Researchers found plastic with bacterial spores degraded in a compost bin in about 5 months. Plastics that don't biodegrade can remain a waste item for up to 1,000 years. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
The Oceanside Pier is open to the public again a little more than 2 weeks after it was closed by a fire. North County reporter Tanya Thorne spoke to locals and visitors eager to get back on.
Last month, the future of the Oceanside Pier was unclear. City officials have now determined it's safe enough for a partial reopening. Here's Oceanside Mayor Esther Sanchez.
You're going to be able to walk on 75% of the pier, and we're very, very excited about it.
Just in time for visitors like Susan Ogg and her family. They go to the pier every year to honor her parents who passed away.
We dropped ashes in the ocean and then dropped the flowers off the end of the pier. So we wanted to do the same thing with the flowers. But when we got here, the pier was closed, of course. And this is our last day. We've been here for a week and the pier opened, so we're down here to drop our flowers.
A full investigation of what caused the fire will take a couple more weeks. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
Some San Diego Unified High School students have been honored for their solutions to critical community problems. Education reporter MG Perez tells us how they won the Aspen Challenge.
The Aspen Institute is an international nonprofit organization that provides education and resources to students so they can research solutions to some of their community's most critical problems. The annual Aspen Challenge came to San Diego this year, and the winning teams from Madison and Mira Mesa High Schools and the San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts came up with some ideas to eliminate single-use plastics, also for mental health support of children, and to reduce chronic absenteeism. Students from Crawford High School were awarded the Best Collaboration Prize for developing a pocket translator to support non-English speaking students. Sophomore Joanna Duarte helped in the design.
Imagine they give you a homework and you don't speak English. Like, how are you going to like figure that out and you can't even communicate with your own teacher?
The National Aspen Challenge competition is next month in Colorado. MG Perez, KPBS News.
Mint Gay International Museum in Balboa Park will host a one-night exhibit tonight. Reporter Katie Heisen spoke with the artist, challenging Vietnamese beauty standards with her paintbrush.
Lin Nguyen's portraits are striking. Stunning women dressed in bright, luxurious clothes, staring unapologetically at the viewer. But Nguyen says some Vietnamese viewers may question why they're featured in an exhibit called Det, which means beauty. Because each subject challenges Vietnamese beauty norms with long historical roots.
If you have a darker skin complexion, this means you work outside in the field. And if you have a lighter skin complexion, you are of a higher status.
She says the standard became even more unattainable when Westerners came to Vietnam.
We see foreigners and people become more envious of, you know, you want to have the double eyelid, the skinnier nose, the even lighter skin complexions.
It's personal for Nguyen, who grew up in Vietnam without these features.
It's always felt like no matter what I do, you know, it is not gonna be enough.
Organizer Britt Pham hopes the exhibit brings freedom.
We want to redefine beauty as self-acceptance, not needing to buy into any sort of story that's placed upon us.
The free event will include food and a conversation on the history behind these standards. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. I'd like to thank our San Diego News Now podcast producer, Emmeline Mohebi, for filling in for me last week while I was out sick. You'll get to hear more of her again this week because I'm now headed out of town with family. Enjoy the podcast with her until I'm back next week. Thanks for listening and have a great Monday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, inviting you to experience the science of story. 6 days of programming celebrating how and why we tell the stories that move us from July 23rd through the 28th at UC San Diego. Events include Clarion Writers Masterclass, A Tale of Two Sulus, An Evening with George Takei and John Cho, Star Trek in Concert with the San Diego Symphony, and more. For information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.